Okay, so we are on Daf Pei Zayin Amud Beis. We just quoted the pasuk Derachei Derachanim V'chol Nisi V'Osei Shalom. So we are three lines in the bottom. Sorry, doesn't make sense. There's the skinniest lines. We have three lines in the body and the skinniest lines in the page. It's like 12 lines down from the top. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to ask a number of possible Kal V'chomers, which are going to be rejected, all based on this same calculation of making Chayim Mesim, making Vlad from Yerushan, Kavlad Min Hasheni, this whole thing that we spent a lot of time on yesterday. So we're just going to kind of conclude the Perek with this, a couple of possible Kal V'chomers. So the Gemara says like this, V'nasa Mesim K'chayim L'inin Truma Mikal V'chomer. Maybe we should say when it comes to truma, right? That remember nas and basim kachayim, meaning that once a person has a child, and then they pass right, and that child's helping her eat truma, right? Because he's a kohen and she's a bas yisrael, but she was married to a kohen, so this her kohen son is allowing her to keep eating truma. If he passes away, right, so now she no longer eats truma. So why don't we say no nas and basim kachayim? Once she had a child, let him kind of like remain. Remain there helping her eat truma, even if he passes away. Make those who are passed away like as if they're alive. Let's do that linen truma. Why? Why should we do it from a kava chomer? We can learn it from a kava chomer. What's the kava chomer? Uma b'malkum shalo asa v'lai mina rishon kavlai mina sheni lepotra mina yibum. Right, when it came to yibum, we said, right, that the child of her first marriage is of no relevance when it comes to her second marriage. So if she marries this second guy and he passes away without children, even though she has a child, it doesn't matter, right? V'lai mina sheni mina rishon we don't make it like v'lai mina, v'lai mina rishon is not like v'lai mina sheni, right? We don't care that you had a child with the original husband, who cares, in terms of yibum. And nevertheless, when it came to, so we don't care, right? The v'lai mina rishon is inconsequential in terms of the second marriage. Nevertheless, asa mesim kachayim. Nevertheless, when it comes to yibum, right, if she has a child when her husband passes away, the fact that the child passes away again, and she doesn't have to do yibum, when the child passes away later, again, it becomes inconsequent. The child that's passed away is as if he's still alive, right? As long as he was alive at the time when the husband passed away, that's all we need, right? So again, in a scenario where we didn't say lo asav la mina rishon kavla mina sheni in terms of yibum, and nevertheless we made it mezim kachayim, right? So we're in the first of the wide lines on the page. Fine. So we did that by yibum. So then malgam sha asav la mina rishon kavla mina sheni. So when it comes to truma, right, where we did make the child of the original marriage make a difference in terms of kavla mina sheni. Continues to exist and it makes a difference. La posla mina truma, right? When it comes to truma, if she had that original child who was, from her Yisrael husband, right? So it continues, and she was a bas kohen, so that child, continuing to be around, even if she has a new marriage, doesn't make a difference, right? So ein adin shenasa meisim kachayim. So now that we're, when it comes to truma, that we are saying the v'lamin rishon that continues to have an impact. So I should also say, that the child, when the child passes away, it should still have an impact. So the answer is, we don't do that. Tamalomar v'zera inla, right? V'halye inla, right? The answer is no. But the pasuk says, v'zera inla, right? If she doesn't have children, she doesn't have children, right? Because we were trying to, again, say, when it comes to truma, right, that make nasa mesim kachayim. So let's say, for example, if she was a bas kohen and she had a Yisrael son, so once to continue to have that son, or even if he passes away, she should still be possible from eating truma, right? So the answer is no. Zera inla. The pasuk says she doesn't have children. Faha inla. She doesn't have. So what happens? She goes back to her father's house. So it comes the pasuk to sort of get us out of that possible kal v'chomer, which would have said the opposite, which would have said no. Nasa mesim kachayim. That as long as she ever had a Yisrael son, she would be possible.
It's almost as if we're making a concession. Try and find a way to allow her to eat truma.
Well, sort of like we're saying, once you have this, this balance of v'lami nirishka v'lami nirsheni and mezim kachayim, the Gemara uses this over and over again as like a wait a second, we could really make use of this here in terms of these Kal Vachomers and learn out these halachos. And each time, it's sort of explaining why we need these drushas. And each time you need a drusha to sort of knock out the possibility of these Kal Vachomers. But yeah. It's an interesting question for a different time. Like, if they knew, did they know these halachos already and then try to, show ways they could have gotten out of them and then say, we'll stay with what we know, you know what I mean, in a certain sense. But there's still an honest, exercise here. But yeah. Okay. V'nasav, so that's, now the Gemara's going to try again. V'nasav v'lamina rishon k'v'lamina sheni l'inin yibum. Maybe we should say, and this would be, right, that when it comes to the second marriage, right, she's married to one guy, they have, and they, and she has a child with him, so there's no yibum there, right, and now she marries a second guy. And when she marries a second guy, he dies without him ever having children, right? So maybe, the halacha, as we know it, is, it's new. Yibum and chalitza will apply in that case. So why don't we say no? Why don't we say the v'lamina rishon k'v'lamina sheni? Then yibum, right? Maybe we should say no, as long as she has had a child in the past, that yibum shouldn't apply. From a Kal Vachomer. Okay, and guess what we're going to use to make the Kal Vachomer. Uma b'malkam shalo asa mesim k'chamin in truma asa v'lamin rishon k'v'lamin ha-sheni. So when it came to truma, where we don't say, right, we don't say the mesim are like chayim, right, the child passes away, that creates a new reality halachically, right? And nevertheless, when it comes to truma, we said v'lamin ha-rishon is k'v'lamin ha-sheni, right? If you have a child in her first, original marriage, that child remains impacting her ability to eat truma one way or the other. So that we say that we don't make mesim kachayim, and nevertheless, the v'lamin rishon is like a v'lamin hasheni. So then, makom sha'asa mesim kachayim, then yibum yibayibum, the child being, the child is, again, like we've said before, when the child passes away, it doesn't make a difference. As long as she had a child when the possible yibum would have taken place, so then, and even if he dies later, it doesn't make a difference. We made mesim kachayim. So if that's true, by yibum, eino din shenase l'vlamin arishon k'vlamin hasheni. So then, again, shouldn't we say when it comes to yibum that the child that again we've allowed that the presence of the child to be perpetuated even after he passes away. So if he's a v'lamin arishon, maybe he should have an impact in the second marriage as well. I could have said that. So tam alomar uben ein lo v'ha ein lo. Right. The pasuk says also when it comes to yibum, it has to be that. That he has, if he passes away, he has no child. In the Maisa, he had no child. She had a child, but he had no child. So again, so the Kal Vachomer is rejected. And let's try one more time. V'lo na'aseh v'lamin
arishon.
Yeah.
If not for this analogy between, yibum and truma, it just like defies the rationale. It's like, it's not relevant whether or not she had, it's always, it's like
him. It's a good question, yeah. Okay, like, what is the fact that she had, it's a good point. Like, what's even the Havamina, right? That she had a kid and so forth. Correct. It's a good point. It's a fair point. V'lo nasa v'lamina rishon k'v'lamina sheni l'truma. So maybe we should actually say when it comes to truma, why are we caring about the kid, the child carrying over, right, from the first marriage and etc. We shouldn't say that. We're just trying everything in both directions, right? So when it comes to truma, we shouldn't say v'lamina rishon is like v'lamina sheni. What's the Kal Vachomer? Right, when it comes to yibum, we say, right, that we made mesim kachayim, that the child that passed away, nevertheless, still has an impact because he was around when his father passed away, right? And that's what we do in yibum, and never let, and also in that case, lo asa v'lamin rishon k'v'lamin hasheni, right? So, and nevertheless, in that scenario, we didn't make the child from the first marriage have any impact on the second marriage, right? Each marriage is its own thing when it comes to yibum. So if that's true, malkam shalo asa mesim kachayim then truma. Then when it comes to truma, where we didn't make right mesim like chayim, right, that each child the child passes away, then the connection is over, right, or the that which is keeping you away from truma is gone, right. So then fine. We can't. Apparently, the child's, the fact that the child was alive at one point isn't perpetuated. So why do we make a v'lamin rishon k'v'lamin hasheni? We should make each marriage separate and not make this child, continue on his presence matter for once she's married a second time. When it comes to truma, the answer is tam alomar ein la v'ha yeshla. Right. The whole point was when did she go back to her father's house to eat truma? When she doesn't have a child. Here she does. So it's a nice theoretical kavahomer, but it's not true. The pasuk says Zera, she has to have no children, and here she has a child. So that's why she can go back to her father's house if she's a bas kohen. Okay, shkoyach, finished the ninth perek. Very nice. Hanjon lach yesh mosaris. And now we'll begin perek number 10. Here we go. Ha'isha shehalach ba'al medinas hayam. These are some of the cases we're going to talk about now are cases that came up for real, right? After the Second World War, and it's not the only time it was the Second World War, but it came up, you know, throughout our history. Women who thought their husbands had passed away, and they get some type of evidence that their husbands have passed away, and they go ahead and they marry, and they want to get married. They want to live the rest of their life. They have no, they don't have, you know, two witnesses to tell them that their husband died, and they want to marry a new husband, and they have some type of testimony. We'll talk about it in a second. And they go ahead and they get married, and then what happens? 10 years later, 20 years later, the original husband shows up again, right? And what's the status of her original marriages? But her original marriage was status for new children, like all these things. What happens in that case? So the Gemara says, the mission says as follows: Ha'isha shehalach ba'al medinas hayam. Her husband went away to a far off place. Uba'u va'amru la meis baleich, and they came and they told her, who we're gonna have to see, came and told her, your husband passed away. V'niseis. So fine, she's told her husband died. And she goes ahead and she starts a new life and she gets married to a new man. V'achakach ba'baila, and then all of a sudden her husband shows up, her original husband shows up. So what happens? Teitze mizeh u'mizeh. Very painful halacha. She has to divorce both of them. Right? Why? Just like a woman who was mizana, a woman who was, you know, committed adultery, right? Who becomes forbidden to the new man and becomes forbidden to the original man. That's the knas that happens to her, right? She becomes forbidden to both of them. So this woman becomes also forbidden to both. So look at Rashi for one second. We're going to see the Gemara is going to make this clear later. Ha'isha, right? So Bo va'amrila, who came and told her? It says Rashi be'ed echad, right? So the scenario here in the Gemara is, in the Mishnah, is that there was one witness who said, I saw your husband die. Okay? So why that's going to make a difference, we'll see in a second. So keep going in Rashi. Teitze mizeh o mizeh. So what happens? She has to divorce both. Kishar eshes ish shizinsa, right? She's compared to a woman who was a married woman who committed adultery with another man. Dahach lavanusi, because she wasn't forced, right? If a woman is raped when she's married, assuming she's not a kohen, she's not married to a kohen, so then she can go back to her husband, right? Because it's not her fault. She didn't do anything wrong. So what's going on here? So Rashi is going to ask the question we're all asking. Va'afagav dehim nu arabanan le'dechad b'isha, right? Even though Chazal accept the testimony, I mean, how'd she get married? She got married because we accept that she didn't do anything wrong. She asked the shayla, right? And she got the answer of you can get married again, right? So even though Chazal accept eid echa b'isha mishum iguna, right? Gemara has the phrase mishum iguna ikilu b'rabanon. The Chazal are mekel because they don't want to leave her unable to marry forever, so they allow her to accept one witness. Time am I? What is the reason why we accept one witness? Mishum dehi gufa daika. Right? The Gemara is going to explain this and use this language later. That we assume that if she's going to be willing to marry again, she's going to check it out. She's going to make sure that she really believes that this is the truth, right? Ad yada bekushta, until she knows for sure, right, for certain, uminsiba, right? Meaning, the only reason we accept one aid, but the Chazal say you want to get married based on one witness. One witness is not typically appropriate for this type of testimony. But if you want to get married, if you feel so confident that this one aid is really telling the truth, so fine, you can go ahead and get married, right? V'ha de lo daika kansile. But this woman, if it turns out that she was wrong, right, and really he hadn't passed away, so in a certain sense, it's like she's held accountable. It's on you. You can roll the dice if you'd like, right? We allow you to roll the dice and take that risk if you really believe that it's true. If it turns out that it's not true, then we're really sorry. Then you, I don't want to say like you weren't careful enough, but like you really should have been super, super, super careful to make sure that this is really the truth. Do your own investigation, hire a PI, whatever it is, to make sure you really, really know that this is the truth. And when it comes out that it's not true, so it's going to turn out that that she rolled the dice and she was wrong because they didn't really have two aid him in the end. The assumption being that the real pshat here is not to punish the woman who was wrong, but because that becomes the consequences, women are going to be very, very careful to make sure they're super, super sure before they go ahead and get married. You know, they have, you know, a death certificate. They have, you know, something that's going to really make it clear that that he passed away. Okay. So let's go back to the, so that's the, and we're going to see, therefore, by the way, when there are two witnesses, it's going to be a different story, right? So now go back into the Mishnah. So fine. So we said, she has to get divorced from both. She actually needs a get from both of them because she has been married to both. She doesn't get a ksuba, velo peros, velo mazonos, velo blos, she doesn't get any payment from them, doesn't get taken care of by them at all. Lo alze, velo alze, not from any of them. Vim not la mizel mizen, if she takes any of these things from any of them, tachzir, she has to return them. Okay? And the next one, even more challenging, va vlad mamzer mizel mizen. Right? The new children from the second husband become mamzerim. Because she's like an Ish Shizinsa. She's like a married woman who's together with another man. So has it mizeh u mizeh?
Yeah.
The point being, if she would now go back to her first husband and have children again, so then children from there would be mamzerim as well. Look at Rashi says, "Vavlad mamzer mizeh u mizeh." So Rashi says, "Im yalda misheni mamzer gamor v'im shuv hechzira rishon v'yalda lo have mamzer midivrayim." Right? If she would have a child with the second husband, so that's a real mamzer midiraisa. If she goes back to the first husband and has children with him, new children with him, so those children will be mamzer mi derabanan. And you can see a lot of these derabanan dinim focused on, you know, this relationship because there's a concern that she won't be so careful, right? So we really, like, she gets nothing, she has no money, she gets, you know, all this stuff because we're being, you know, we want to be super, very, very careful to make sure that if she's going to get married, she knows what she's risking here. Velo zev ezem etamila. If the husbands are kohanim, right, and she dies, they don't become tamei to her because she's, you know, she's now like out. Velo zev ezez akayim lo b'mitziyasa velo masi adeh velo b'afaras nidareah. And none of them can, right, halacha is that a man, if a woman, you know, finds a lost object, her husband gets to acquire it. And technically, if she makes money, it goes to her husband. And also he's allowed to do hataras, you know, hafaras nidarim, to you know, annul a vow before it takes place. None of those things are husband's, you know, opportunity, we can call it. And by this woman, once this has happened, none of these things exist for the husbands. They don't have that power. Okay. Hai sabas Yisrael. If she was a bas Yisrael, nifsla min kahuna. Now she's forbidden to marry a kohen, which is strange because she didn't get divorced yet, right? She's nifsla min kahuna. She's gonna end up getting gittin from them in the end. But the point is that she's immediately forbidden to a kohen. That's if, you know, if they would end up dying before they get a get, right? And Rashi says nifsla min kahuna mishum zona, right? Because she now was with this other man biznos. So she becomes a psula min kohen immediately, presumably even before she gets the gittin. Ubas Levi mina Meiser, and if she was a Bas Levi, she becomes forbidden from Meiser. Ubas Kohen mina Truma, and if she's a Bas Kohen, she's forbidden to Truma. That's funny. Why is she forbidden from Truma? If she had no children, she should be able to go back. The answer is another Knas. There's another penalty on her that if she's a Bas Kohen, she cannot. She mida Rabbanan, she cannot eat Truma. Ve'yorshin shalzeh, yorshin es ksubasa, and her doesn't matter. Her children from either husband cannot collect her ksuba. V'mesu achiv shalzeh, v'achiv shalzeh. Right, and if either one of them, sorry, v'meisu, and if they die, achiv shazev, achiv shazev, chotzim v'lo miyamin. And if either of her husbands pass away, the brothers from each one have to do chalitza, but they're not allowed to yibam. Also, that is a rabbinic decree. Rashi says chotzim, achiv sharisha midaraisa chalitz. Right, the brothers of the original husband midaraisa have to do chalitza. V'rabbanan gazer de lo liyabim. Right, and Chazam in Gzeir, they can't do Yibam with her. When you see that explanation will come up later. But that the bottom line being that both the brothers and the first husband have to do Yibam or Chalitza, and we don't allow Yibam. And the brothers from the second husband, which was really Be'isser, was allowed to marry him. Nevertheless, they do Chalitza, you know, because of how it's going to look. So we have them do Chalitza, but really it's not required. Midaraisa. Okay, so now we have a number of opinions here that are going to kind of argue with a few of the different details. So Yossi Omer Ksubasa Anichse Bay Laharishon. So Yossi says, no, her Ksuba, right, that really, you know, comes from the first husband. Rabbi Elazar says a different concern. Harishon zakai b'mitziyasa. Umaisei deir farasin derea. Rabbi says, why are we, I understand you're punishing her. Why are you punishing him? Is that his fault? He was away, he got lost, and he came back. So why does he lose out on the mitziya, on maisei deir, and farasin derea? That should stay. Rabbi Shimon omer, bi'asar chalitzasa me achiv sharishon poteris sarasa. Let's say she would, her husband would, her first husband would die, and the brother wants to do, yibum. So says Reb Shimon. Just by the way, if they would, that should pata her tzara again, because midaraisa really the yibum, the zika yibum is real, and the vlad from that child from that relationship would not be a mamzer again, because midaraisa that relationship is fine, right? To do yibum with the her original husband's brother. Okay, but now continues the Mishnah. Vim nises shalo birshus muteres lachzor lo. Okay, if she got married without permission, sounds funny thing to say. Without permission here is better. All right, shalo birshus. What do we mean shalo birshus? So Rashi says nises shalo birshus based in shabo shnei edim. Right, you have two witnesses, and they come va'amru meis balech. They said your husband died. V'nises me'atzman. She comes on her own. Right. I didn't read that correctly. Nisei shalob yishus bezdin. Right, she dies, she gets married to the second man. If she got married to the second man without permission from bezdin, why? Because two witnesses came to her and said, your husband died. And she got married on her own, right? Sha'arei lo haisa tzricha leheter bezdin. Meaning, she goes ahead and she gets married based on the testimony of two witnesses. And presumably you have to make sure those witnesses are kasher edim and the whole story. But the bottom line is that if she would get married without the permission of Bezdin, meaning she didn't need Bezdin to say, well, except one witness, Mishum Miguna Akil Be'erabanan, she didn't need that because she had real deal testimony. She had two witnesses who said that her first husband died, and now she marries the second man, and then he shows up. Muteras Achzorlo, she can go back and marry the first husband. She can't stay with the second husband, right? Because her first husband is still alive. But she's Ke'ilo, right? It's Ke'ilo. Rashi says, Muteras Lachzorlo, Da Anusahi. It wasn't her fault. She followed the halacha. Right, the halacha was that if you have two witnesses are good as are golden, right? Two witnesses like 100 witnesses. So she has two witnesses, so why should she have any concern? And she's allowed to halachically marry this guy, marry the new man, so she can't stay with him, but if her new husband comes, her old husband comes back, she can go back to her first husband.
Would you go back even if he's a Kohen, the first husband?
Good question. It would seem that the answer would be the same as applies to any Anusa. Right, yeah, presumably not. We'll see if the Gemara talks about that. But good point. Yeah, but otherwise, yes, she'd be like any woman who was an anusa. So v'mise shalob yishus muteras lachzor lo. Good. Nises abi pezdin teitze upatur mina korban. But if she gets married because of bezdin, meaning because bezdin accepted one witness, so then she has to get divorced, but she doesn't have to bring a korban because again she was following the halacha. Lo nises abi bezdin. Right, she doesn't get married because of Bezdin, right? But she got married because of two witnesses. Teitze, she has to leave her new husband. V'chayev es b'korban, and she actually has to bring a korban. Why? Yafa koach Bezdin shepoteres mina korban. Right, so it's funny because in the end of the day, what happened in the first when the two every other part of this, if you don't have the Bezdin's het there because she had two witnesses, it's better for her, right? But in the one case that it's not as good is when it comes to the korban. Why? Because if Bezdin tells you to bring a korban, then it's not your fault, right? If whenever Bezdin tells you to do something and you do it, al pi haras Bezdin, that's their problem, not your problem. So in the case of the one witness, even though she's every other way she's totally messed over, if you can't go to the first husband, can't go to the second husband, etc., and tells the korban, she's actually to her the korban. If the Bezdin says she can get married and she goes ahead and she has another relationship, which is a not halachic relationship, like an immoral relationship. Chayeves b'korban, she's got to bring a korban. Why? Shlohi tiru eli nase. They didn't tell you could go wherever you want. They tell you you could you could get married. So fine. So that scenario, we assume that's going to be that case. So we'll stop here. I think we could probably pick up from here next week. I think we have to do a fourth day. So we'll stop here and we'll pick up next time.